Amen. It's Super God Sunday. And whether you need a miracle or whether you are the vehicle to the miracle, we're going to talk about bringing your A game. How do you bring your A game? Amen.
Amen.
We're talking about the things that God can do for us. Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to get something in your mind. I want you to think about the biggest problem that you can't solve. I want you to think about the biggest mountain that you cannot seem to climb, no matter how hard you try. I want you to think about the worst habit that you just cannot, for the life of you, seem to be able to break. You got a picture? I want you to think about the most challenging obstacle that you just cannot seem to move or get over or around. And I'm assuming if you've been trying, I don't mean if you haven't been trying. If you've been trying and you just cannot break through, today I'm going to begin to try to tell you why and tell you what to do. How about that?
Amen.
Would that be worthwhile?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want you to be mindful of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. If you're thinking about that thing you just can't break through and you're trying to figure out why and you're giving it all that you've got, I want to remind you today that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to say it again. I said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Are you ready for that? Against rulers of wickedness of this world. I didn't just say wickedness. I said the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in what places?
High places.
I ask you a question. Have you been bringing a knife to a gunfight? Have you been bringing a knife to a gunfight? What are you rolling with? What are you packing? Whether you need a miracle or whether you are the instrument of a miracle, I'm just asking you, are you bringing a knife to a gunfight? Have you ever prayed for something or someone and didn't get what you prayed for? That ever happened? I want you to know, in addition to God's sovereignty, which I've been making sure to teach you all about, please know that true faith, faith, activates God's anointing. I don't mean when you're just kind of saying it, you think you mean it. I'm saying when you know the God that you serve, true faith activates God's anointing. When your child asks you for something, like, Daddy, I know you could do this for me because you're my daddy and I know you love me. How easy is it for you to not take care of that thing? How hard is it for you to resist? True faith activates God's anointing and causes the oil to flow. But if it's not real faith, then it will not flow. Amen?
Amen?
True faith, that is. True faith. Now, the faith does not perform the miracle. Remember this. You can't faith the miracle into existence, but the faith is what activates God's anointing. And then we get the miracle. Is that right?
Amen.
And so all things work together for our good, right?
Yes.
And also all things are possible to who? Not quite, to those that believe. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Same message. Except remember, we know this because we study. Those who diligently seek him, we're talking about he's a requiter of those who diligently seek. In other words, if you diligently seek him, he will be found. That's Hebrews chapter 11, right? Amen. But all things are possible. Which things? All things are possible to those who what?
Believe.
So do you really believe? That's the question. Do you really believe? Amen?
Amen.
So everybody say out loud, not just in your mind, not whispering, not just lip syncing, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
But help my unbelief.
But help my unbelief.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
But help my unbelief.
But help my unbelief.
Amen. Somebody need some help today?
Yes.
All right, let's go on to the text then. Let's get some help. The text will be found in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Amen. Now, the context is this. Jesus has been up on the mountain. Now, he took three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, the most inner circle. And he went up on the mountain, and they got to see him upon the mountain of transfiguration as he was transfigured. That's why when we were riding here in the car, dear, and the pastor talked about transfiguration, I said, She didn't know why. Yes, he's talking about the fact that seeing Jesus anointed that way, bright and shining in all of his glory, and seeing Elijah and seeing Moses reinforced their faith. Reinforce their faith. He was talking about the fact that sometimes you need a little reinforcement. Sometimes you need a little pick-me-up. Sometimes you need a little booster shot. Amen. And so it is actually just after that miraculous event where Peter, James, and John saw something that Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this. Not until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And they said, what? Risen from the dead? What is that all about? But they've just seen something miraculous. And so they approach the town as they come off of the mountain. And this is where we get to verse 14. Amen?
Amen.
And let us read together. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, when they returned to the other disciples, that is the other nine, they saw a large crowd surrounding them and some teachers of the religious law, your King James will say scribes, are arguing with them. Now, your King James probably says questioning. It goes beyond questioning. They weren't just questioning. They were indeed arguing. And when the crowd saw Jesus, probably because he was still just shining with his anointing, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. And Jesus says, in your Bible, it should be in red letters, what is all this arguing about? He asked. And then his disciples didn't answer. The scribes didn't answer. But a man in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son to you. But of course, we know he wasn't there. So that you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. If we saw him, he would look like an epileptic. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. Sounds like a seizure, right? So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it. You ever try to do something on behalf of God in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, and it does not work? You ever pray for something in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus and the Father and the Son and everybody else, and it does not work? So this man says, I brought my son to you. And in your stead, your disciples, which the oil is supposed to flow. But they could not do it. Now note Jesus' response. This is good stuff. You don't see Jesus get too righteously indignant and angry too often. So when he does, you better pay attention. We know about the time that he turned over the tables in the temple, and we know why. We know why. We know all the dastardly things that were going on there and why he was just simply not having it. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, "You faithless people." Now, the man has brought his son to the disciples instead of Jesus. They've done whatever they did. Maybe they prayed. Who knows? And we don't know how they did it. But the point is, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cast this demon out. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so Jesus says, "You faithless people, exclamation point. How long must I be with you? How long do I need to hang out with you? How long? When are you ever going to get it?" This is Jesus talking now. Now, if I stood up here and pointed my finger or raised my voice, you'd be like, whoa, slow your roll, Pastor. You're a little high and mighty. This is Jesus talking now. How long must I be with you? Do I need to stay here forever? I can't even die and give you salvation because you need me to teach you the basics over and over and over and over again. How long must I put up with you? That's Jesus. It's in red. This is Jesus now. Now, what just happened? Jesus came down from the mountain. The man brought his child. Now, that looks like faith, don't it? I brought my child to you. That sounds like faith, right? And your disciples could not cast him out. What's Jesus' response to this man's word? "You faithless people." Now, you'll be disappointed if you try to study this, if you read up what the theologians and all the Bible commentators say, they just have a field day. They go everywhere. Jesus is talking about everybody's faith according to him, according to them. "You faithless people." All you have to do is keep reading, though, and pay attention. And stop being so heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. Stop trying to make more out of it than there is to know what he's talking about. And we're going to learn here today, this morning. He says, "How long must I put up with you?" Jesus is impatient here. He's sick and tired. What's very clear here is that Jesus has some what? Expectations. And they have fallen what? Short of those expectations. Does Jesus have a right to have expectations of you? And how many of us truly are hurt when we disappoint God? It's really hard to sin over and over again when you're really the child of the King. It's really hard because you hurt him over and over again, and he has expectations. You know what happens when children fail over and over again? It's often the reason that African Americans and other poor people fail over and over again. There are no expectations. Despite the difficulty, despite the challenges, despite the disadvantages, I expect mine to make it. Despite. I expect them to overcome. There are expectations that Jesus has for us. The question is, can you accept that? Can you roll in that? This is why the Clippers couldn't make it in Game 6. It's the expectations. You can make the shot when it don't matter. You can make the shot during the regular season, but can you do it when there's really something on the line and everybody's watching and all of a sudden you're not the ne'er-do-wells. You're not the bottom feeders now. Expectations. Can you step up? Can you bring your A game when there are expectations? Jesus has expectations, and this is what Jesus sounds like when he's tired. "You faithless people." Now, understand now, we're going to see who he's talking about. This man brought his son, right? Doesn't that sound like faith? Jesus says, "Man, how long am I going to have to put up with you all?" He says, "Just bring the boy to me. Just bring the boy to me." Frustrated. Jesus. Verse 20. It says, "So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, what did it do? It started going crazy. Going crazy. Remember I told you I'm bringing my A game. I'm bringing all I got. I'm leaving it all on the field. I'm praising God today like it's my last day. You don't know." And this is what this demon is doing. It's like, oh, man, here come that one. Let's get our last one in. Uh-huh. You know you've done wrong before, and you know the jig was up somewhere in your life, and you know you said, let me just get that last one, that last cigarette, that last hit. Mm-hmm. That last little communion with the one you're supposed to be with. Come on now. Mm-hmm, you know. You're getting ready to get put out of your house because you're not paying the bill, so you have that last party with the money that you shouldn't be spending. You know it's true. Your car about to be possessed, repossessed, and you know it, so you go to Vegas. Just like you did when you got it. When it was new, I need to blow it out. You're going to Vegas with the money that you should be paying for the car with, but you're so far behind. You know how you convince yourself. I can't pay it anyway. Anybody with me? Anybody been there? Come on now. Okay, you've been needing to lose the weight. And you just, you get above that, you get to that point, I ain't losing it anyway. I may as well eat whatever I want to eat. I'm so, okay, all right. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. So he said, bring the boy here. Just bring him to me. You guys, whew, you faithless. How long am I going to have to put up with y'all? So they brought the boy to him. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. And he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Amen? Amen. And this is where it starts to get real interesting. Verse 21. Jesus asks a question. And you know, Jesus doesn't waste his breath. He says, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. There's a reason why he asked that question. The boy's father replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. And then he says, have mercy on us and help us. What does the last few words say? If you can. Now, Jesus was already indignant about the faithlessness. And why did he get, now listen now, the man brought his son to him. That looks like faith, doesn't it? He brought his son. And he actually opened up his mouth and he asked the disciples in Jesus' absence, heal my son, deliver my son, get this evil spirit out of my son. Does that sound like faith? Mm-hmm. And yet Jesus is, and then he said, but they could not heal him. Now, you could take that all kinds of ways. You could say that he's saying, well, your little disciples, they couldn't heal him, but the real deal's here now. Why did Jesus react the way he did? Because he could tell in what the man said that this is what was really in his heart. Oh, he brought him. Oh, yeah, that sounds like faith. Oh, you can ask God for something, but God knows the difference. Just because you step to him, he knows you don't mean it all the time. Just because you ask doesn't mean you believe he can do it. So this man says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. If you can. I want you to think about this. We've been talking about how great God is. I am the one who, you know, spoke into nothing, right? And created all things. I am the one, and we sing it. Do we understand what we're talking about and who we're talking about? That's the God that we pray to. And this man, just like us, he's just saying it. We'd be thinking it. If you can. Can you imagine? Now, he just finished getting all upset. This is why he was upset. This is why he was upset. Because he knew, that's great you brought your son. You brought him to me. I'm flattered. And I'm supposed to heal your son, right? Remember, what releases the anointing? Faith. Not just faith. What? True faith, real faith releases the anointing. You can come up, please heal my son. Please deliver my son. In other words, woo, you should be flattered. I came to you. I'm giving you that position. Guess what? Won't work if you don't really believe it. Won't work. Won't work. So he says, now he's revealing what Jesus already knew. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Now, one of the reasons I chose the New Living Translation is because of what Jesus says in verse 23. The King James is nice, but it does not do it justice. What does Jesus' reaction? Now, Jesus ain't pulling no punches, right? He's not holding back. He already said, man, I'm sick and tired of you all. How long do I have to put up with this? You should be better than this. I have expectations of you all. I've been healing. I've been delivering. I've been casting out. Come on now. You should be better than this. I've done all that. And then you step to me and you don't say it, but I know you're thinking it. If I can, are you kidding me? Jesus says, what do you mean in verse 23? If I can. Excuse me? What do you mean if I can? And this is what we do. I'll pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every mountain don't mean it. Of satanic adversity in my life don't mean it. Not really bringing your A game. Amen? And you can say all of that over somebody. And they came to you. If they don't really have faith, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You got to really believe. Amen? Amen? We're not talking about half-baked faith. Now, remember your faith. When Jesus says, thou faith, lady, thou faith, thy faith has made thee whole. The faith didn't do it. Your faith caused the release of the anointing that made you whole. If it was God's will. Amen? Amen. So it's not just about God's sovereignty. It's also about the faith. Amen? Amen. Hopefully we're learning something this morning. Talking about bringing our A game. If you need a miracle, what's your A game need to be? Real faith. Knowing that God can do anything. All things. I want you to think about that thing that you just can't solve. All things. All things. Things that you've never seen done before. But there's no excuse, and Jesus is very frustrated with you if you can't bring your A game when you've got a trail behind you like a toilet, people with toilet paper following you out of the bathroom. You got a trail of miracles in your life. How many things do I need to do for you before you will believe me? I've done all this stuff, and you bring this man to me, and you... If I can, are you kidding me? So it wasn't ever, despite what the theologians try to do and say, it was never about the disciples' faith. Understand you me? When you're putting your hands on somebody and you're praying for them, for their healing, for their deliverance, you think that it's your faith that matters? You are a vessel. You are a vehicle. You are a gas pump. That's all you are. You're not the gas, and you're not the one who receives it. You are a receptacle. You need to be available to God. On post and on point. But it's not your faith. You can't faith somebody into healing. And you can't heal them no matter how powerful you are if they don't have faith. Won't work. Won't work. Won't work. We need to be ready and willing vessels. It wasn't the disciples' faith. It was the Father's faith that was being judged. And Jesus knew it all the way back in verse 22. He knew it all the way back there, what was really going on. How many of you drive a car? Mm-hmm. And what do you need in that car for it to work? Mm-hmm. And where do you go? Okay, when you go to the gas station, do you believe you're going to get gas? All right. Now, this man has taken his son to Jesus, and he went to his disciples, and the disciples couldn't cast the devil out. So now Jesus comes along, and this man tells Jesus, have mercy on us and help us, what? If you can. Because the disciples couldn't do it, he transferred that over to Jesus, couldn't do it. He didn't bring his A game. He didn't come believing. One little failure knocked him off. He never brought real faith. Jesus knew that from the beginning. If you really believe, some little thing that your senses perceive that looks like failure are not going to throw you off your game. I'm telling you, I'm not done yet. I'm not going anywhere yet because I'm not done. I'm telling you that. Told you that for years. Not going anywhere. If it looks like I'm going anywhere, just pray because it ain't over. Just look for a miraculous, amazing thing that you ain't never seen. We're talking about when you know that you know, not when you think. So when stuff happens that looks, that makes it look like you don't know, you just keep knowing. I'm talking about real faith. Ooh, the anointing just flows. Amen? Amen. So when you go to the gas station, you ever go to the gas station and you try to do the pump thing and it won't work? You put your card in, it won't register. Or you put your card in, it registers, and you start pumping and that one don't work. What do? You back your car up and you try another one, don't you? Maybe you even now, you don't back your car up because somebody's back there, so you drive over to another pump, do you not? Why? Because you're at the gas station, the place that you have faith, that's where you get the gas. Do you let one pump throw you off your game? Why? Because you believe. You believe. You believe. Now, somebody standing out there don't know anything about gas would think you crazy. Why you? It doesn't work. That place doesn't dispense gas. That person clearly, let me just tell you something. Look, now you may say, no, I won't pass it, but if you went to a second one and it didn't work, you're not going to go 2 miles away to another gas station. You're going to try again and look crazy to somebody that don't understand gas. Why? You don't know that gas station owner. You don't know if he paid his bill. You don't know anything. But you are going to keep trying because you what? Believe. Now, that gas station is the one you go by every day. You've gone there and you've gotten gas every day, right? Just like Jesus has delivered and handled our business over and over again, has he not?
Yes.
All right. So it's not just any gas station. You know that that gas station delivers. So you'll go to 3 or 4 pumps. Why? Because you what? Because you believe. So when you have real faith, some little thing that happens that don't look like you're going to get what God wants for you, you don't get thrown off your game. When you're in the basketball games and during the regular season, they don't really press up on you. You get in the playoffs now. Everything changes. All those little moves, all those little shots you had, not so easy anymore. What you going to do when you have to go up against a real enemy? What you going to do when it looks like you can't win? What you going to do when it seems like the enemy is stronger than you? What you going to do? Amen?
Amen?
So we're talking about real faith. So if you need a miracle, you better bring your A game. Your A game. God's always on his. The question is, what about us? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can? And so then Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. Now, I do not know why the New Living Translation says Jesus asked. Okay? Like that's a question. And it's clearly a statement. Anything is possible if a person believes. Now, listen now. Anything is, what's the word?
Possible.
Possible. Mm-hmm. We're going to get this stuff straight. So just because you say it, it doesn't mean that doesn't mean God believes it and that settles it. Now, if God says it, then I believe it My actions prove it, and then that settles it. But just because you say it doesn't mean that God has to respond, right? But all things are what? Possible to those that believe. You bring your faith. It's intermingled with God's perfect will and sovereignty. Oh, the gas pump is full. Oh, it can flow anytime. But God decides when and how quickly and to whom it flows. But understand, real faith is really hard for God to resist. Real faith. Amen?
Amen.
So he says anything is possible if a person believes. So you have this man, we've proven that he doesn't really, 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 really believe. Right? We've proven that. And he's saying, if you can, and Jesus says, what in the world? How dare, if anything is possible to those that believe. So I'm letting you know what? Your faith was lacking. That was the problem. Your faith is lacking. And so what does the Father do? He cries out what? I do believe. But help me overcome my unbelief. So what does he do? He admits that his faith is lacking. And he is sincere and desperate. And his sincerity and desperation causes him to what? Own up to his deficiency. Mm-hmm. You're trying to see, pay attention to the characteristics that move God. Obviously, real faith moves God, right? Yes. The woman with the issue of blood, come on now, he could not resist because she had no doubt if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And in this case, this man is lacking something. And what does he do? He owns up to it, do we? He says, I do believe. That's why I brought him to you. I do. But help me overcome my unbelief. Amen?
Amen.
He cries out for help. Why? Because he's desperate, but he's also sincere. If you're desperate and insincere, it does not work. And if you're sincere, but you're not really desperate and you're lacking faith, no go. But he says, I'm believing the best I can. I brought all I had, and you're right. I didn't believe because I just told you if. But please help my unbelief. This word, this translated help here, means come to the rescue urgently. And it comes from a military origin. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's the attitude and the comportment that you'll have when you really want something. And you're not always going to be on your A game at first, but you better very quickly admit when you're not on your A game. And God, if you do that, will honor both your sincerity and your desperation. Amen?
Amen.
So we're talking about bringing your A game from a faith standpoint when you need a miracle like this man did. And Jesus honored him. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's go to verse 25. When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Boom, done. And he said, listen now, you evil spirit that makes the boy unable to hear and speak. He said what? I command you to go, right? To come out of this child and what? Never to enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion. This is the last time that he gets to do this. And then it left him like it had to, right? And the boy appeared to be dead, exhausted, basically. And the murmur ran through the crowd as the people said, "Whoa, he's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet and stood. And he stood up. Amen.
Amen.
And in verse 28, this will be our last couple verses. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples. Now they ask the question that you know they've been wondering. Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit? Why couldn't we do it, Lord? We've healed many people before. Why couldn't we do this? Why were we not up to snuff? Is it our fault? Were we deficient? And what does Jesus say? He says, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Now, if you have the King James Version, it may say prayer and fasting. Now, in the Greek, it only said prayer. But if you go over to Matthew, it says the same situation. It says prayer and fasting. Very important that even though Mark chose not to include it, that you include it. Why? Because if not, you will start to think that what the disciples did wrong is that they tried to cast the demon out, but they did not pray. You'll get the wrong idea. Okay? You'll get the wrong idea. Or you will think that if you need something in your life and you have this kind of situation, that all you have to do is pray. The fasting part matters. Because he's trying to let you know that it's not just prayer, that communication between you and God in a sincere and desperate way, but also fasting. Why? Fasting is a version of an example of true consecration. He says this kind, there are different kinds, there are different levels of demons. There are different levels of challenges in your life. There's stuff you've been able to solve just like that. There's stuff you just prayed and then it happened. There's stuff you said in the name of Jesus, boom. But there's some problems in your life. There's some mountains you just can't seem to climb. There's some problem you're still talking about. And you should have been over them a long time ago. There's some issues you're still wrestling with. And they should have been gone a long time ago. Why? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some of your problems you don't realize have a demon stronger than you can imagine attached to them. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. Jesus is saying some types of challenges, some types of difficulties, some of your mountains will only come out if not just that you pray, and that's not what was missing, is because they weren't prayed up. They weren't consecrated. They weren't spiritually ready. There's a lot you might have accomplished. There's a lot we might have accomplished. But if you're not spiritually ready, we can't bring no high places down. We can't bring the real hard things down. We can't accomplish the great accomplishments. They had cast out many demons up to this point. It wasn't faith that they lacked. They thought, got this. But what they didn't realize is that it was a bigger challenge. They didn't bring their A game. They had taken care of all the demons that their capacity would allow. It's not that the power isn't there, but they weren't fit conduits for the kind of power that was necessary to get rid of this demon. You got to be on your A game for some things to happen. Amen?
Amen.
And if you want to rock and roll with Jesus, we need to stop playing around and underestimating the enemy. So if you need a miracle, and you accept God's sovereignty now, and he's still the boss, right? Then you should boldly now, I say boldly, go to your Heavenly Father and ask in Jesus' name what you will. Amen?
Amen.
And he is a good God. And with him and with true faith, all things are what?
Possible.
To those who what?
Believe.
If you have that kind of faith, like the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus cannot resist.